T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Previously on Gresh and Keefe.
I forgot about Game Sisk.
That was Trust Us, We're Professionals, because it was so long this week.
Yeah.
Does that mean we had a bad week?
I think a great week.
This is Gresh and Keefe.
Criticism he gets is just insane. We all know what Tuca brings. For anyone to criticize him is, I guess someone used the word bozo before, so it's just stupid.
He's just not going to steal you a game. Tuca Rask, he sucks.
Andy Gresh.
Long gone. That ties a Red Sox record. They've given up 7 home runs today. And again, to quote Ned Martin, mercy.
Rich Keefe.
From the whale's mouth, and he's trying to swallow me. Okay, this is it. This is how you're going to go, Michael.
Gresh and Keefe starts right now.
Back scratcher!
I love that.
On WEEI.
Well, we got the Patriots who are going through training. Mandatory mini camp right now, and well, some people are there, some aren't. We'll get to it.
Maybe a surprise as to who's not there, or not a surprise.
Maybe not. Or is there a reason why a certain someone isn't there? Welcome in after the weekend. It is 10:08 here on the WEEI Sports Radio Network, WEEI.com. You have found Gresh and Keefe. The midday takeover continues, and I guess this is the most excitement we're probably going to get out of the Patriots over the next, I would say, 6 or 8 weeks before we head into training camp, right? We get a little bit of mandatory mini camp, which for the easiest way I can describe it is there's a lot of booby bumping going on out there. They're really not hitting. This is more of the mental work that
goes on.
Mental
work. Yeah, mental reps you could take. You know, got to get the guys together, right? Get the guys back together. You know, what you've been doing this offseason, and everybody gets to be in the same place. And it is different from last year. You know, that's one of the excuses that he can cross off the list for Cam Newton from a year ago. There was bad teammates. There was no training camp. There was no, OTAs. There was no preseason, all this stuff. Well, you can cross those off. So we think he's going to be there. We think he's going to play. We think he's going to be able to, you know, with his hand injury and all that stuff. But, yeah, this is a week where you get a little bit of excitement, and then it'll go away for a few weeks, and then it'll ramp back up for the games.
I guess Cam is there. Someone else isn't. Bill Belichick will talk about that. But right now, a chance for you to win money.
Another typical cash giveaway. Here's this hour's code word on WEEI.
This hour's code word is FLY, F-L-Y. Text FLY to 72881. That's 72881 now for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive, and good luck to you. So, Cam Newton in the hand? All right, that's one thing. Stephon Gilmore is not there. Yeah. However, Bill Belichick did kind of talk about it a little bit, which to me is the indicator that all is well. Because if it wasn't, I think we would get evasive Bill. Now, you and I haven't heard this audio that we're about to hear.
Right.
So everybody has a chance to hear it together.
You're correct. Because the fallback for Bill oftentimes would be, I'll talk about the players who are here. Right, that was sort of a classic response.
Right.
We're talking about the players who are here. Therefore, he's not going to talk about guys on other teams during this time, or at least he picks and chooses when he does it.
That's
and
right.
It's the same thing with the guys here. You ask him about a specific player, he might give you an answer about the group, or he'll just say, oh, we're going to talk about the guys who are here, he's not here, and whatever else. Because remember last year, he was asked about Gilmore, too, because Gilmore missed a little bit of time, and he was like, excused absence. Like, okay, all right, we'll see. And then you kind of go from there. So I'm all ears for what he's going to say today, because this is the one that we were kind of circling, right?
Yes.
Of all the guys on the team, we're like, maybe he gets traded. And if he doesn't get traded, I can't imagine he's going to want to play for $7 million.
And I've been the one who has said they don't have to go to the guy. Let's see if he does push it.
Right.
And Stephon Gilmore is not there. But that was the first question to Bill. Is Gilmore present at camp?
Yeah, like I said, we're kind of scrambling to get things going this morning. So I didn't really get a chance to see everybody myself. So we'll see where we're at.
And just in general, you know, obviously we haven't seen him during the voluntary portion of the OTAs. Just how important is he to your back end and what he brings to the team?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of players we haven't seen in OTAs, and all the players are important and like to have all of them.
All right, he's holding out.
You think?
Oh, my God, yeah. He just said there's a lot going on. I didn't get a chance to see everybody. He's for sure holding out.
Well, maybe it's because there have been travel issues, and Bill Belichick mentions that.
I had a little weather here. We're working through some travel arrangements, so we'll see, you know, what the full level of participation is here today and for this week. But that's really... I'm sure we'll have a pretty full roster.
He's giving people excuses now for the weather. Malcolm Butler didn't get an excuse for the weather. Adalys Thomas didn't get an excuse for the weather. A lot of these guys who have missed a little bit of time, and you know, because Malcolm Butler had a thing. Remember, he was flying in from somewhere, and his flight got delayed, and then he got punished for that. A lot of players, he doesn't put up with that. There's no excuses for travel.
I think it is a little different in terms of when you're flying in for mini camp from elsewhere versus Adalys Thomas living like 10 miles down the road and not knowing how to handle a snowstorm, and he played in Baltimore.
Wasn't Butler something like that? Butler's was showing up to camp, and there was like a flight delay or something, and then there was an issue. But
well, you got to remember, too, that he was about done with Butler. Like, I don't think he's done with Gilmore, but maybe a little different in the way that Bill is kind of going after that. And the first thing I thought of was, like, travel, weather. And I didn't even think to look, okay, was there, like, massive thunderstorms in the south yesterday or something like that?
Maybe.
Like, where these dudes could be coming from, yeah. I don't know. But Tom Curran, here's the question is in there as well.
Okay.
Curran sort of presses Belichick on the travel a little bit.
Hey, Bill, just following on the question about Steph and the attendance. What do you mean there was some weather? Did weather prevent people from coming to this? And given that it's mandatory, are these going to be excused by the team?
Yeah, well, just the travel arrangements over the weekend. So not sure exactly, you know, how all of it worked out. We were close on a couple guys this morning, but we'll catch up on that after we get done here and see where we're at.
That's a nothing answer.
And then
Gilmore's
Curran,
holding out.
And then Curran really pushes Belichick. Here we go.
So it's not a big deal. I mean, so you understand how the operation works. We don't see people out there in mandatory minicamp. Are you saying let's not go over the barricades here? If there's it's not that big a deal, in other words.
No, I'm saying today's the first day. They just got in here a little while ago. I'm not sure if everybody is here. We didn't take attendance at the meeting, but we'll find out who's here and who isn't soon enough.
All right. Thank you.
That includes the players that were here last week and the players that weren't here last week and everything else.
Didn't take attendance at the meeting? Oh, my God. He's gone soft. So just it's mandatory,
it's
but not
guys.
Really. Don't show up.
Too many guys.
Yeah,
too
how
many
do we
guys
keep track of these
count?
Guys?
Yeah,
is
Ernie's
Gilmore
gone.
I don't know.
Ernie was the guy
counter,
who took it, right?
The count of the guys.
Belichick.
He logged him in.
Patricia didn't get there early enough to start counting everybody at the door.
He slept in.
Right?
You tell me, or he had a big breakfast. Maybe.
Or maybe he's that's good. Thanks. Maybe he's the one who screwed up the travel arrangements. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. So he can't play Matt.
That's right. So those Southwest tickets. You know what I mean?
I just feel like
add some vouchers. It didn't work.
An old Belichick team, or even a Parcells team. Feel like. Sorry, coach. Got in late. Can you believe the bus was a little behind? They're like, no, if you think you're going to have issues, if you're coming from Timbuktu, maybe that's come right. in 2 days early. Maybe give yourself a little bit of a buffer. You don't show up at the exact second that mandatory mini camp begins. So there's a lot of kind of weird non-answers in there. Like, I don't really even know who's here. You don't know who's there. I think it's just Gilmore's not there, and he's trying not to make it a big story, but it's going to be a big story. It's going to be one of the bigger stories in the NFL.
Well, we'll find out if he is or isn't excused by whether he gets fined, right? Because, like, remember they talked about, well, Rodgers isn't going to be there. He could get fined, the organization really going to sort of press the accelerator with and him? Fine him? See, I don't think this is the moment with Gilmore where we say, oh, yeah, there's a real problem. If we get to late July, which is when camp starts, if we get to late July and they're like, okay, first full workout and he's not there, that to me is that because they, any of these team fines, they can just say, presto, gone.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the team fine. But with Gilmore, we all assumed he wasn't going to play for $7 million.
Right.
Because look at all these other corners making a lot more than him. Last year, he had like a mini holdout, and they changed his contract around, and then, he was there. And then you had the whole thing with the injury. You had the whole thing with trade rumors, him putting his house on the market, all of this stuff going on last season. And now you're like, all right, he's not there at the voluntary. All right, whatever. He's not going to be there at the voluntary. But the first sign we would have of him holding out would be to not be there today, and he's not there today.
Mm-hmm.
So all signs point to me saying he will play for the Patriots if they give him a different contract. His current contract, he will not play for.
Yeah, I'm not so sure on that. And again, there's two more days for this guy to show up. Like, maybe there was a legitimate issue, and if he's there tomorrow, does that necessarily mean that he's happy to play for $7 million?
But isn't that kind of a coincidence? If the one guy who we think has a contract dispute, he had travel issues. Like, Dante Hightower's there. He wasn't at the voluntary stuff, and then he did show up at the end.
Right.
And then now at the mandatory stuff, your quarterbacks are there.
Is Gilmore living locally here in the offseason? Like,
did he ever sell that house?
Well, of course. And we know that the whole putting the house for sale is the real indicator that football people are like, oh, my God.
Real estate.
Not that, I don't know, last year was maybe one of the best years for selling real estate in, I don't know, maybe a decade or so. Rich people like money. Like, it couldn't be anything like that.
He hasn't tweeted in 3 days, and the last time he tweeted, he said, worrying does not take away tomorrow's troubles, it takes away today's peace.
Oh,
I need
Shime to rub his hands together and, like,
what
say
does it
that.
Mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
We're getting all cryptic here. And look, I understand the skepticism, I really do. I just don't think it's at that critical mass yet. And until he holds out going into the regular season, the Patriots don't have to. I know fans look at it and say, they don't have to do anything right now.
So if we are
getting into a high stakes game of chicken, which this might be, or Gilmore's there one of the next 2 days, and then everyone's like, okay, what is really going on?
It's not going to get as much attention as Aaron Rodgers, obviously, but one of those things where you look at it and say, all right, do you think Gilmore has the appetite to hold out all year? And on the flip side, do you think the Patriots have the appetite to go into this season where they beefed up the defense, they beefed up the offense, they're really going for it? No, by the way, maybe your best defensive player is not sitting out, but if you gave him a few extra million bucks, he'd play. And guess what? You're a team right now that has a few extra million bucks you could give him.
What they should be thinking is, how do we extend this guy for two more years? Basically, how do you because he's 30.
Do you want him that much longer, though?
I do, because I think he can give you – he's going to be really good this year. I think he's going to be good the year after that. And then you can set it up to where you can make the decision.
Yeah.
You would think with the way you could build it.
I think at that position, I would pay him a ton for this year. I'm okay with like almost whatever you want for this year, but I don't want to commit to him long term.
I'm not giving him more money unless I get at least another year of commitment. Because, again, Belichick could stand there and say, Stephon, you signed a 5-year, $65 million deal. These are the last $7 million that we owe you. Like, this is the one guy who New England hasn't gone to say, take a haircut, do this, do that. If anything, it's been, here, we'll give you the money early. We'll give you the money early.
Yeah, but he was also defensive player of the year. This isn't like asking Danny Amendola to take a pay cut because he's hurt all the time.
But they also could have made him really wait, or they also really could have stuck it to him and just said, hey, man, we don't have to do anything for you. And in reality...
And then he could sit out.
But in reality, what did they really do for him? They didn't give him extra money. They just gave it to him early to placate him. And now, by the way, they've actually set it up to where if they want to do an extension, it's very easy for them to do so, to tack on a 2 or 3 extra years.
Yeah, but I don't think when he agreed to the contract kind of restructure from last year, I don't think he was like, hey, I need all this money this year. I have some business opportunities. I need the money now. And then next year, I'm okay taking less. I think he was like, all right, I'll get my money now. It was probably sort of, you know, both sides could agree on that last year, whereas he knew, all right, the next year, I sure as hell am not playing for $7 million.
Well, then they should have addressed that then, because the year to hold out would have been last year then. The year to hold out would have been going into last season, coming off of A, what he did, and the magic, it said Stephon Gilmore, 29. And that's what we just talked about. Hey, how long do you want this guy? Like, to me, if you're going to do it, last year is when he had full leverage. And oh, by the way, you needed every veteran you could last year, because we know camp got thrown into a mess. One other Belichick to get to, now that we've gotten into some of the Stephon Gilmore stuff, this would be great. It's a quick one. Belichick asked, is Cam going to practice?
Yeah, he practiced last week. I'd expect him this week, too.
Well, there you go. I thought he had his hand amputated, the way everyone was reacting to everything that went on down there.
Was that a steakhouse, Bill? Was he getting a fight at a steakhouse with his brother?
He got a new thumb, apparently, I guess the thumbectomy went well. Yeah. And no, but Cam is going to be there. He's going to practice. The question is, how much will he practice? In the 1 o'clock hour, Ryan Hannibal at WEEI.com, who is down there taking it all in, will be aboard, I guess, Andy Hart, according to the hard ass that Rob Bradford is. Andy Hart, I guess, will be there tomorrow. We'll have Andy dropping in tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour, just to kind of recap everything with practice.
I got a tweet for you here. Let me see if it sways your opinion on Gilmore.
Yes.
This is from Mike Garofolo, who says, according to a source, Stephon Gilmore will sit out the team's minicamp. That's not just today. That's not just travel. That's not just it was rainy somewhere.
Right.
That is...
He's going to sit
well
out mini camp.
Sit out also to me means hold out. What's he sitting out for?
But if he shows up at camp, then what was it all for? You know what I mean? Like, again, that's why I'm just saying, once you miss mandatory stuff,
there has to be a reason for it. And it can't just because the roads were slippery.
Will they find him to show they're mad at him?
I don't know.
But is that an indicator of where this is at? Because they have the right to do it, and Lord knows.
But do you think who's more likely to budge?
But Lord knows, as we've talked about.
Yeah.
If the Patriots want to put the screws to you, and if Bill gets pissed at you, there are lots of different ways that can kind of play out. The Malcolm Butler one was a pretty good one.
Again, that came to the last game, and I don't think that wasn't contract.
But it was before
related.
That, in terms of cutting him a break. Like,
they
could fine him $90,000 for not being here. But if the Patriots cut him a break, then is it either? Everything is.
But how do they view him? Do they still view him as an elite defender? Because I think that part of it's different.
That's a great question.
Because Brady and Gronk, they had issues with their contracts too, and they eventually figured out. There's the story that Brady wasn't going to make the trip to Detroit for that preseason game until they tweaked it. And then Gronk and all the incentives that those guys had to play through. So if they still feel like Gilmore is a true number one corner,
then they'll get it done.
I think they'll figure something out.
And it'll probably be a little bit of an extension to be able to make it work from the cap standpoint.
Because just from the outside, I feel like Gilmore is less likely to play for $7 million than the Patriots are to put their flag down and say, hey, we paid you one contract and that's the only contract you're going to play for. Like, I think they're more likely to budge on this.
Now, look, they should extend him. Tack on 2 more years to the deal, and then you repurposed it, and it's essentially a 3-year deal. And on that third year, when he's 32, then you can kind of decide maybe what you want to do with the dude. Like, to me, he's worth it. We're going to sit here and say, well, last year they had to get more money because he's the defensive player of the year. Do you think this is a guy who's going to fall off a cliff? Because I don't see that.
I think there's a possibility of that. I do. I think this year, I think he'll be good. Last year, he started the year slow, then started to look like the guy again, and then got hurt. So there's also an injury factor in this, which is why he didn't get one of the reasons why it became really complicated to even trade the guy last year. It was like, all right, well, where is he at health-wise? So I just think that position, similar to running back, has a long history of elite level guys falling to pieces once they get into their early 30s.
It's interesting that you say that, because that could be very much what they're thinking. Why would I give this guy more money? He got hurt last year. We've paid him every dollar. Why would we do anything for him?
Yeah, the injury thing is a factor, I think.
That's been very much underplayed in all this, because it's always the, well, he was the this player of the year. But if they think in 2 years he's not going to be anywhere near the same guy, then maybe they do end up looking at him a little differently. I don't think it's critical mass yet.
Okay.
And I want to see if they're going to find his ass. Because finding him almost $100,000 would be a real statement that there's a big issue here.
I don't think they're going to find anybody. They're not even taking attendance down there.
Well, apparently
who knows?
So.
That's right. Who's here? I don't know.
That's right.
You know, just
we got to get Chime down there with his little yellow notepad, right?
Who's
checking
there?
Who isn't?
We need you with
my nice Moleskine notebook. I'll be ready to go.
Oh, yeah. You're ready.
Do you think Bill will, like, if they're all in their different meeting rooms, Bill has like the speaker that the principal used to, where he could get on and be like,
announcements?
Good morning, players.
One of those.
Did you do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah. That's right. Did you ever do that in school?
Of course.
Yeah, you had to. I never got picked to do that once.
Oh no, we did it like the whole school would do it. Like
everybody got a turn.
Through eight. No. Like, it was time to stand up, and you all set it together.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, leading it over the old loudspeaker and stuff like that in school.
No.
So you could see the build, like, in the DBs, you're falling asleep, get up. You know, like, mm-hmm. he's, like, all of a sudden, he's the massive eye in the sky. Not a good weekend for the Red Sox, and, well, there's some pitching issues that we need to get to. We got some Bruins stuff as well. A story that can't be believed. There's a story out there that can't be true. It just can't. And we're going to parse through all that and probably make fun of someone that maybe we shouldn't make fun of. But what the hell? Cam is back in camp. We will get to all of it with you at 617-779-7937. Here is Chime to Trend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Wherever you're working from, Gresh and Keefe go where you do. Download the Odyssey app or ask your smart speaker to play WEEI.
Jeremy, specific to that, most of your postseason was, other than the 20 minutes, observational and backup. Was there anything specific about the playoffs that was eye-opening to you?
I think the intensity was pretty obvious to everyone. Teams are fighting for their lives and their seasons, and you know, it was apparent. And also seeing a full crowd at the TD Garden was pretty special too, I know. And that was my first time, especially being on ice level with that. And, you know, I was addicted ever since I saw that. So that was pretty cool. But playoffs, you know, there's nothing like it. It's true what they say. And again, to be a part of that, you know, playoff push was pretty special. And again, I'm addicted. I want to be back for more.
Oh, Hardo Bruins fan. There's your blood flow right there from Jeremy Swayman, the Swayman. How about that, Keith?
Loves the game. Loves
it. Addicted to the playoffs.
Guy,
huh?
He's your number one goalie. He's your guy. That's him.
Get the peanut butter out and rub them all over those nipples and go crazy.
Tuca probably doesn't even know the playoffs are still going on. He has no clue. He just checks out, unplugs.
He's prepping for surgery, for God's sake.
That's true. Yeah, he's going to get that sometime in the next month or
he's
so.
Got a,
so
he's got a big surgery planned, a la Tim Thomas. Mm-hmm. So the Sway Man telling everybody what they want to hear, baby. Oh, yeah. Teeing it up. And look, in all seriousness, it's kind of good to hear a guy. Because sometimes I think you hear people be like, well, you know, it's just my first taste of the playoffs and blah, blah. And this guy was like, oh, no. It stimulated me being in a situation like that. Even though the first shot he saw, he spoiled himself.
Second one, but still, not great. I know, he gives up a goal on three shots. But in a weird way, not being put in to that elimination game may have also saved him a little bit. Because a lot of people, myself included, said they should have gone with Swayman. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they would have won the game or the series, but I would have gone with Swayman instead of a goalie who has a torn hip labrum. That's what I would have done personally. But now, There's that unknown. Like, Swayman didn't go out there and crap himself. He didn't go out there and give up five goals. We didn't even see him. So there's still sort of the, what could have been with Swayman? And that might help him. And, you know, the next time we'll see him will be a regular season game. So the pressure won't nearly be as high. But it's all going to come down to, do they feel like he can be the guy? Like, what is their plan? What is Sweeney, Neely, Cassidy? How do they feel about Swayman? Can he start 40 to 50 games next year and then be your goalie in the playoffs? Or, you know, have you seen some other teams think that they can lean on young goalies and have it burn them? I think that was the case with the Flyers this year. They're like, oh, we're all set. We got a young goalie and he sucked. And so then you're kind of scrambling and you missed the playoffs. So how do they feel about that? And then obviously the Tuca injury, like how much does that factor in what you do all of next season with the goalies?
I went back and I know that we mentioned this on Friday, but I went back and listened to Tuca again, and he talked about getting healthy and then dealing with the contract. I wonder if this guy is just going to rehab, and then whenever he's right, then he ends up signing some sort of prorated contract for the rest of the year. Because, look, the Bruins, in theory, should get, what do we figure, about a 50-game look or thereabouts, maybe a 60-game look at Swayman as long as Tuca is rehabbing into February?
Well, it all depends because, again, Andrew Raycroft told us he thinks that Swayman should be in Providence all year, which is not what a lot of fans want or are looking for, because Dan Vladar has already been a really good AHL goalie. Like, he's proven, like, all right, I need to see, I either can or can't do it at the pro level. We already know. I think he led the AHL in goals against 2 years ago. So, like, he's proven that he can do that.
Do you think there's an actual chance that Vladar and Swayman could be the two that they go with coming out of camp?
I think there's a chance just because, again, they're both under contract. I don't think Halak's going to want to come back. And if they think Tuca is part of, if they bring Tuca back, then I say yes.
So if they know Tuca will come back off of injury, then they can go with those two
because
and
what,
stash somebody in the American.
Because what kind of a selling point would it be to a veteran backup X? Say, hey, we'd love you to split time with Swayman until Tuca comes back, and then you're not even going to dress. What is that? Like, that person could probably get another job. Or if somebody's willing to take on that role, how good are they? So what's the point of having some bum just because he's been in the league for a long time? Wouldn't you rather have Vladar and Swayman?
Well, then doesn't that lend to just saying to Halak, hey, do you like it here? You know, we'll overpay you a little bit.
I bet he doesn't. He got passed on the depth chart this year. He didn't even get to sit during the playoffs the bench. So I think he would probably rather be a true number two goalie somewhere else.
Do you think somebody signs him to be a true number two?
Yes, because I think he was, the last couple of years, stats-wise, he was as good of a backup goalie as there was in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I think somebody would give him a job and kind of promise him, like, hey, you're going to play 20 to 30 games with us. You're not going to do it with the Bruins. You're just not. So I bet he's annoyed with how it played out here.
It's interesting with Vladar because they could leave him down. If they wanted to leave Swayman down, they, in theory, could leave Swayman down in the AHL and have Vladar and someone else up. And that flexibility, while it's great for Don Sweeney, it also may end up giving us an ice cream headache in the end. Unless they just straight up declare, hey, we got to move on from Halak and it's time for us to kind of reset that position. But even then, like, could it, and I didn't think of this until you just said it, Could Vladar and Swayman be in a competition for the starting goalie spot next year? And not that necessarily one of them would go down and play in the American League, even though you probably could do that.
I think so.
But is that the way they kind of, okay, you two young guys go fight it out, and then we'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And trust me, I am all for Jeremy Swayman being the number one guy and starting it with Swayman. That's what I would want to see. But I think for them, Vladar's been in the system longer. He has more of a proven minor league track record. I could see him at least getting a fair crack at it. But that's why I think it all comes down to their decision on Tuukka also, because do you have the two young guys and then Tuukka comes back and then you bump one of those guys down? Or do you want another established goaltender at the beginning of the year and then therefore there's only one spot for the young guy and then that other veteran goalie is just there all season and you don't bring back Tuukka? Because I think that is also plausible. They could say, all right, you know what? We were kind of on the fence on whether we wanted to bring Tuukka back or not, and the injury, he's not available till January, maybe even February. No, our team is going to move on. We're not going to be waiting for Tuukka Rask to come in and save the season.
Does Halak get any COVID-19 caveat into the way they view his situation, given Lord knows that when Cam got it, you know, cross sport reference, I get it, but when Cam got it, there was very much the, gee, did it really weigh down on him? I wonder if there's some wiggle room there with the Bruins in terms of just the way they evaluate Halak.
No, see, I think he was actually fine. Like, I think he did his job. I think he proved last year in the playoffs that, all right, he is a real backup. Mm-hmm. The only scenario he's back is if they tell him, like, we're not bringing Tuukka back. So you are the veteran guy to go with either Swayman or Vladar, and we want you to split time if you're back in that role. But if he thinks there's even a chance of them bringing Tuukka, why on earth would he want to come back?
Yeah, I don't know what the options realistically would be for the guy. And that's one of those, like, take your left hand and sort of cross your fingers behind your back and say, yeah, Halak, we're not that interested in Rask until he's fully healthy in February. And then we'll choose to reevaluate the old situation. You can follow us on Twitter at Gresh Keefe, at Keefe21, and at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. We're making that push for 20,000 followers on the old Gresh Keefe Twitter. It's been growing slowly. And, of course, we thank you for that. Coming up, maybe the biggest fish story ever. No pun intended. You'll hear it all. I don't even know what to say about this. We have to parse through it next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Online or over the air, we don't care. Just make us your new midday habit. Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
And then I realized, oh my God, I'm in a whale's mouth. I'm in a whale's mouth, and he's trying to swallow me. And I thought to myself, okay, this is it. I'm going to die.
That was veteran lobster diver Michael Packard. His vessel, the Jaw and J. J-A, da-da, and J.
John Anderson?
I had nothing to do with any of this. I'd like to very quickly separate myself from what we are about
while
to hear.
I don't know. This is a crappy story, but I don't know if we can blame John for this one.
No, I mean,
Gresh has like C-minus humor on Monday mornings.
It's because it's the Sunday night show. Yeah, that's the reason. It's understandable.
4 hours of
sleep. The Ric Flair drop, John.
That's right.
I get it.
Somebody's got to put me over.
I get it.
Dark Podcast, WEEI.com.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Shout out to that. No, but I am all ears on these stories. The sea is vast. 75% of the world's covered by water. We still don't even know everything that is in the water, Gresh. You go in there now, you might bump into something that nobody's
even talking
about.
If you tell me there's a Sasquatch in the water, I'm leaving right
even
now.
Even better, there's an entire civilization monster known as Atlantis.
Thank you, Sean.
That's allegedly right. It's in the Bahamas, and it's a wonderful place to visit.
The Bermuda Triangle.
Boss Nass is their leader. That's a deep pole.
The Bridgewater Triangle is scarier than the Bermuda Triangle.
I'm going to Bermuda. That's definitely true. I'm going to Bermuda in a month. Who knows? I might get lost. I don't know.
You could.
I'm told that I'm going.
Don't enter the triangle.
Yeah. No. All I know is you got to be vaccinated to go, and in my house, that's a problem. But anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
We're getting there, though. We're getting there. Michael Packard, his vessel, the Jaw and Jay, was off Herring Cove Beach, suddenly surrounded by a fleet of boats catching striped bass. But I love this in the Cape Cod Times. The water temperature was a balmy 60 degrees and visibility about 20 feet.
Ooh, imagery.
It's 10:52.
60 is chilly, though.
So the licensed commercial lobster divers literally pluck lobsters from the sandy bottom, and as Packard dove down Friday morning, he saw schools of sand lances and stripers swimming by. And then you heard... Nice. He said, I felt a huge shove. Next thing I knew, it was completely black. And this guy is now in the hospital and tells the tale that he was in the mouth of a whale and the whale didn't swallow him or eat him or didn't, you know, chew him.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these whales just kind of swim around with their mouths open and whatever is in front of them just gets kind of sucked in. It's not like they have these big teeth like a lot of these sharks and they're chomping things down. They're just kind of like mindless eating machines and they just kind of walk around and it's almost like, you know, like a catfish, just kind of cleaning stuff up. Just get their mouths open, doing work. So if there's a diver or a lobster guy in front of them, you're down.
This guy went through the whale like it's a water slide. And he came out the back end, if we're to believe this guy.
Yeah, now you're in there.
Well, are you buying this?
That he got swallowed by a whale? Absolutely. Why? What does he have to gain by this?
Oh, I don't know.
The media storm.
The notoriety.
And I'm sure he's just being bombarded with gold plates and millions of dollars.
I mean, this guy has been able to...
He's probably a little freaked out. I know I would be.
He's so freaked out.
The belly of the beast?
No, but it was he was so freaked out that it was literally, oh, yeah, this happened today. Where are the news cameras? Somebody tell me.
You got to document your story.
And supposedly, from what I heard on the Greg Hill Morning Show today... This dude may or may not have had a story where he was the lone survivor of like a plane crash. There were like three other people in there.
How about the luck?
I heard that mention. Oh, yeah.
So it just really wasn't his time either.
Again, he's
time.
Ric Flair, right? Ric
Maybe.
Flair plane crash.
Have you ever seen the movie Final Destination? It just wasn't his time.
So I think the real question that needs to be asked, though, is is he saying he was pooped out by the whale or was he spit out by the
whale? I bet he was spit out. I bet the whale was like, I ate too much.
Because
I don't
he would have just been digested.
Right.
No. That I don't believe. If he went through that way, then he'd be
no
dead.
No shot.
How about the whole thing?
You can be swallowed by a whale and then thrown up by a whale.
Fun fact, whales swallow 2 to 3 tons of krill a day.
Thank you very much, Shime. That's the kind of stuff I was looking for right there.
Gotcha.
I had a feeling it was that, but I didn't want to put it out there and be wrong. But these they are so big, and if they're just swimming around with their mouth open and you're too busy trying to peel lobsters off the ground, you don't know. Next thing you know, you're in there. Everything goes black. You've never seen those movies? Then you're trying to like light your little flare in there to see where you are. There's like a skeleton next to you.
Yeah.
There's like
saw
them
on a cartoon. Yeah,
all the time. You're like, oh, my God, how the hell do I get out of here? And then what you got to do is you got to start tickling him and hope that he sneezes, and then you go flying out, and then you're done. So good for this guy.
Do you want to hear the whole story according to this guy?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
And I just felt this truck hit me, and everything just went dark. Just thought, did I just get eaten by a white shark? And then I said, no, I don't feel any teeth. And I said, oh, my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale with his mouth shut. Am I just going to, like, run out of air and suffocate? Is he going to swallow me? This is how you're going to go, Michael. This is how you're going to die. In the mouth of a whale. And I just got thrown out of his mouth into the water. It was just white water everywhere.
Sure.
Wow. And I just was laying on the surface floating.
Yeah.
But I have a dislocated knee and just a lot of soft tissue damage.
Okay, well, you can rehab that.
I also was scared that I had maybe a diving injury from coming up too fast or an embolism.
Ew.
But everything's good. The doctor says I'm good.
I would say top 5 way to die. If somebody is
no
so,
chance
getting eaten by a whale, it's kind of
well, so no,
by a whale.
Technically, when you get eaten by a whale, you're either going to drown, be crushed, or suffocated. That's how you actually die.
Yeah, but you're in a whale, though. You
yeah, but
add that
none,
to it.
Neither of those three options are fun.
It's not the same way that one guy died in season one of The Boys when he was with Popclaw. Remember that?
Oh, they put a thing in his. They put a grenade up as you know.
Nope.
Oh, that also happened in season one of The Boys.
I though. Know. Different way. But anyway, we'll get that another time. But so you got nobody's buying this but me?
Well, so apparently this isn't the first time this has happened either.
Of course not. So, these whales are huge.
Well, so there's a story of a man named James Bartley from the like late 1800s.
Oh, now
who
we're
was
talking.
Reportedly the first person that was like recorded.
The first guy swallowed by a whale.
Well, to be
the first guy
about.
To claim he was swallowed by a whale.
In the 1800s. Skeptical.
It was a news article that was published in the St. Louis Globe Democrat. Called a man.
Too one sided for me. That's John's paper of choice.
Man in a whale stomach, rescue of a modern Jonah.
I didn't like that.
Those whales are big in the rivers in St. Louis.
This also happened in Alabama in 2007.
Who else in the leprechaun say yay? Yay!
I think a leprechaun in a tree, John. That was not a whale swallowing.
Very
anybody.
Different thing.
It's not even
a troll.
I think this guy might have just been tripping a little bit and might have watched the right episode of television. Hang on.
John?
Hold on.
Let's try that again. Cue it up.
All right.
It's your
dump,
cue.
Go.
He might have watched an episode of television.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. Like an old man trying to send back soup in a deli. There you go. I got about 50 feet out, and suddenly, the great beast appeared before me.
The beast!
I tell you, he was 10 stories high if he was a foot. As if sensing my presence, he let out a great bellow. I said, easy, big fella.
And he burped up again.
And then, as I watched him struggling, I realized that something was obstructing its breathing. From where I was standing, I could see directly into the eye of the great fish.
Mammal.
Whatever.
Well, what did you do next?
Well, then, from out of nowhere, a huge tidal wave lifted me, tossed me like a cork, and I found myself right on top of him, face to face with the blowhole. I could barely see from the waves crashing down upon me, but I knew something was there. So I reached my hand in, felt around, and pulled out the obstruction.
And it was a golf ball that Kramer hit in the ocean. Just as likely, by the way, to land in the blowhole of a whale off of Long Island, just like this whale apparently had this guy in his mouth. The dude tickled the top of the whale's
the
mouth.
The hangy down thing.
He tickled
the hangy down thing.
Because
then he
sometimes
threw up.
The roof of people's mouths tickle, so he just went tickle, tickle, and the thing spit him out.
Didn't want him. Yeah, because it would have been more damage to the whale had he had to digest the person, I think. So he knew what he was doing. He's just trying to eat plankton. And taking in a guy.
Good use of plankton. So I'm out. You're in. Shime, are you in or out on this?
I'm a hard out.
What about you, John?
I'm very out.
Open your minds up a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're close-minded?
We need to start believing people again.
I do believe certain people.
You don't believe this guy.
If this guy...
Website to document all of the Sasquatch sightings. Do we have whale swallow?
People
is there
a
website
whale?
For that as well?
.com?
Can we do some research
I'll
on
take
that?
A peek. Not that I've found.
No. Not that you found? Okay, very good. I just want to make sure that this guy really got
it. Do we also
documented.
Know exactly what kind of whale it was?
I would imagine like a blue whale.
Has to be, right?
Yeah. I think it would be some monster whale.
What's one that swims in an ocean that isn't near here? That would probably be
an
the
orca?
One. It would, maybe
which is
so.
Actually technically more
by
of
the
a
way,
dolphin. More dolphin, really.
Actually,
the killer whale.
Fun fact, by the way, killer whales have never actually killed a human being, at least recorded.
Is that right?
That is correct. Except,
what about
except ones
world?
In captivity.
They probably just know how to get
that
away with
that.
I was going to say,
wild.
Which is just abuse.
What in the
a
wild.
Horrible place.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say, Free Willy didn't kill anybody?
No.
Director's cut, he did.
It might have.
Yeah. Man is the real killer.
Free Willy.
You want that? World. There's an R rating to the Free Willy.
There is?
Yeah, he just kills everybody.
I gotta go
at
back.
Zero.
That's why they called him Killer Whale.
Every trainer, the little boy at the end, when he jumps over him, he actually just stops and squishes him.
Someone
brutal,
said it was a
brutal
humpback.
Death scene.
Well, we now have five oceans apparently now. Unbeknownst to me, I know. John had said the text. I missed it the other day.
I'm old enough to remember.
They came out with a new one.
I'm old enough to remember when there was four oceans and Pluto was a planet.
My
now look
God.
At me. Now
look at you,
me.
And you're not even 40.
Not unbelievable.
God,
a whole different time.
Life moves fast, friends. Coming up, Cam is at minicamp. Gilmore isn't there, and lots of notes to talk about in terms of what the Patriots have been doing the last, well, say 2 weeks. Keith and I will get to all that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.